Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
The weather yesterday was absolutely beautiful, as you know, and many of us spent the day in our gardens, and we might have closed our eyes a little bit to a lot of the gardening jobs that might be cropping up now. So if last spring you'd only ventured out to the garden as a novice, what should you be getting on with now? Well, I'm joined on the line by gardeners Mary Staunton and Dermot Gavin. Good morning to you both. You're very welcome.
Morning.
Thanks
morning,
for joining
Claire.
Us today. I'm sure you're both getting very busy now. Straight through it, Mary. What jobs are you looking at tackling this week and this month?
Okay, I'm trying to get some annual seeds sown, so I'm looking at cosmos, godetia, zinnias, poppies, cornflowers, you know, that lovely night scented stock when you go into the garden in the evening and there's a beautiful scent that comes from those annual sown seeds called nice scented stock.
Well, absolutely listen, as you bring up smells and scents, we had a listener query when we said you were coming on, which said, why can't I smell the flowers in the way that I used to years ago? And they just questioned whether the seeds are of a lesser quality now. Do you ever hear that the scents aren't as strong as they might have been back when?
Certainly in roses and stuff like that. I mean, roses are bred now in some instances so that they are disease resistant, not you know, highly scented. But in terms of annual seeds, certainly if you're going for those like night scented stock and things that do have the scent, they shouldn't really be of a lesser quality, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right, because wheat roses, just as Mary is saying there, they do overbreed them, and they want to produce things that are really beautiful and sometimes double flowered and treble flowered and whatever. And that is to the detriment not only of scent but also of pollinators, because they might be producing very little pollen, or the pollen might be inaccessible for the bees and all the insects that need it. There are breeders like David Austin, if we were talking roses, who really try and give the best of both worlds. So you still have scent, you still have open flowers that the pollen can be collected, but they are fairly disease resistant.
Okay, so watch what you're buying is the message there. Mary, potatoes, there'll be jobs for potato growers this month.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to get in your first earlies. And interestingly, I just looked back at a photograph from 2018 and we had a snow blizzard this day 3 years ago.
That's right, I remember it well, yeah.
So today is a perfect day, or yesterday would have been a perfect day to get in your first earlies. So they are the potatoes you put in now, harvesting in about 12 weeks, and they're out of the ground before light hits. So you don't have to resort to using sprays or anything like that, which is great news for pollinators and bees and insects that really need you not to be using as many chemicals as we used to use,
yes,
to be honest.
And Dermot, go ahead, finish, yeah. No.
It's an easy, first earlies are easy, even done in planters and big buckets. You know, if you don't have the space, just use a planter to put in a few first early seed potatoes.
Okay,
very easy.
Get started on that job.
Yeah, exactly.
Dermot, what are you prioritising now in the garden?
Well, things like the lawn will need its first cut fairly soon. So if you are having one of these trim, neat lawns that we're in a way trying to get away from, make sure that your lawnmower is ready to go, but leave an area again for the pollinators. The other type of thing is we've had all the, I don't know if I'm allowed to say Mother's Day anymore.
No, Person's Day.
Person's Day.
Yeah.
And lots of flowering bulbs have been given as presents. They can go out into the garden. So if you don't know what to do with the bulbs that have been forced, even the Christmas bulbs, like the hyacinths and stuff like that that have been grown indoors, bring them outside. Start your compost heap this year. Get ready to recycle the coming season's garden waste by either buying one of the compost bins or building one. And maybe plan on creating a water feature, a new pond, absolutely brilliant for attracting more wildlife to your garden.
Now,
all of those things would be good.
I have so many questions coming in. Let's get to them. That we're overwhelmed here. Liam says, what shrubs that will grow 4 to 5 feet high, Mary, can I plant under a large weeping willow?
Well, if you have a weeping willow, you must have a bit of moisture there in the ground. So you're looking at things like hydrangea, you know, will do well in that kind of moisture or it likes a lot more moisture than most things. So hydrangea would get up nice and tall. You're looking at acers would get up nice and tall. Pieris, if they have acid soil. Camellias, if they have acid soil. Rhododendrons, again, lovely kind of, just because they're evergreen and they look good kind of all year round. They're some nice ideas. A lovely, I always mention it, Daphne Belua, Jacqueline Postille, perfect. Mm-hmm. That'd be really nice there. So you've got the scent, you've beautiful flowers, and you've got kind of an evergreen look to it as well. Okay. So there's plenty of choice there. You know, he's lucky that if that ground is kind of moisture retentive, that there's an awful lot you could grow there.
Got a lot of choice there. And Dermot, listener has an out of control pampas grass in my front garden. How do I get rid of it?
Is that Dermot Bannon?
No, could be. Could
do you
be.
Know what? It's a nightmare to get rid of. So pampas grass is absolutely gorgeous grass. In the 70s, they were planted in lawns. They look great. They flower really late. The flower heads last right the way through the winter. The traditional way of controlling them was to burn them. But so many fire engines have been called out because the foliage dies back into the kind of crown of the plant. Trying to dig one out is a nightmare. So I think you would get a man or a woman with a mini digger would really be the best thing, because it's unbelievably hard to control. They form one big clump. You can't really cut them back. You'd have to hack through it. And it's a job I wouldn't wish on anybody.
Gosh, it sounds like a
very fibrous roots. Yeah.
So just get someone to rip it out for you.
Yeah.
I have a geraniums question. I want to go to this one because I have an issue with geraniums. this listener wants to know, if geraniums that look dead in pots can be revived, or should this person just bin them and get new ones, Mary? I have an issue with them because of the smell. I don't like the smell of geraniums. I think they smell like cat's wee.
Some people don't. Yeah, some people don't like geraniums. But if they look dead in the pot, if she just scrapes a little bit of the stem at the bottom, just see if there's a bit of green there. If it is, just cut them back and they'll come back from the base there. If you are, generally speaking, they don't get through a wet winter. You know, if they're in pots and they've been constantly drowned with water, they don't like it. They don't mind the cold too much, but they hate the wet. I had somebody asked me about, you know, the lemon-scented geranium. I don't even think you like that, Claire.
Right, it still has geranium. the undercurrent.
Yeah. But those ones, the scent really comes to the fore if you neglect them. So by underwatering them and underfeeding them, you get more scent out of the lemon scented geranium. Just to be aware of that, overfeeding them and overwatering them, you just don't get that scent.
They look lovely, but they shed a lot and they're a bit stinky.
Okay, I think not your cup of tea.
They're really gorgeous. And of course, there's a herbaceous geranium that is very handy in beds, in gardens, that crawls along. And that does very well. It probably will do well under that willow tree because it likes a bit of dappled shade. And I grow one called Geranium palmatum, which produces from May on, right through the summer, just clouds of really light pink flowers. Absolutely gorgeous. And there's one called Madeiriensis, which grows in a globe. And they're so striking. So indoor or outdoor ones, I think, can be beautiful.
Okay. Outdoor, I think we can cope with. When should you put vinegar into your hydrangeas to make them go blue? Is that a thing people do?
Not that I've heard of.
No.
Okay.
If it's grown in acid soil, it will be blue. If it's grown in limey soil, up in Dublin here we have a lime soil, they'll be pink.
Okay.
You know?
So we don't know.
Traditionally, people would have buried a horseshoe with them to try and turn them from white or pink to blue.
Nails or something. Yeah.
Okay.
My pruned rose bushes look miserable, leaner than previous years. I would love to hear how to nourish them now to get them blooming this summer. And then we get asked, chicken manure?
Yeah, that'll work. But the big thing is that if you haven't pruned your roses, now is really kind of the last time that you can do it. Take away any kind of dead or diseased wood or any crossing stems. Mulching everything. So with organic matter, mulch, mulch, mulch. So that's putting a blanket of organic material down around the base. And chicken manure is great for any of these feeds.
Okay. Dermot, you're still doing your Instagram lives, aren't you? Do you do those every night?
We are 1 year old told tonight we're having a party from 7 to 8 on Instagram. So we've been doing it 5 evenings a week for the past year. Big announcement tonight on Instagram. And tomorrow night, we answer all your questions.
Exciting. And then, Mara, you've got your Zoom Saturday classes online as well.
I do. It's a very relaxed sort of Saturday morning, 11:30. We do a little live from the garden for the next 4 weeks because it's actually going to be nice. And you can I'm on Instagram, Mary1Staunton, and you can have a look at that page and see if you're interested.
Great. And marysgardeningclass@gmail.com is the email address. Let's try and squeeze in a couple more questions here. Sinead in Dublin says, I planted overwintering garlic and onions in late October. Can you ask when these will be ready for harvesting?
Okay, the trick with them is that the leaves will kind of flop over and then they're ready.
Okay,
so
that's
simple enough. If the leaves haven't flopped over, they're not ready yet.
Okay. Sinead, I hope that helps you. What to plant, Dermot, you can take this one, in a small flower bed, north facing, never gets sun?
Well, that creeping geranium is good. There's lots of flowers that will do. Whenever you think of the kind of natural world, we do have... if you look at what grows in a kind of forest under the canopy of a tree, so any of the bulbs, the bluebells will be out soon. They will look good. Those herbaceous geraniums that I talked about, there is Pachysandra terminalis, which is a low-growing ground cover, which produces a white flower. But there are loads, absolute loads of plants. There's a plant for every single site and situation.
Okay, so don't worry. That's not getting any sun. I'm not an experienced gardener, says this listener. I've had to put topsoil on the garden and sow grass seed. I'm worried that we haven't used enough topsoil depth. How much is enough?
Doesn't need a huge amount.
Yeah.
It just needs really good drainage underneath in terms of the soil. Subsoil, it needs to be in an open sunny position, and about 6 or 7 inches of topsoil is absolutely fine.
Okay, listen, we'll let you both go. Thank you so much indeed. So many questions as always for Mary Staunton and Dermot Gavin. We'll be back talking to them soon.